Friends, in Jesus' grace and mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior. We'd like to focus again on the words of our gospel reading today as Jesus shows the power of his kingdom over the kingdom of darkness and of Satan. And we'll pick up the story in the 34th verse of Luke chapter 8, after that herd of pigs had been drowned in the Sea of Galilee, having taken on the demons that had possessed this man. And when the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then the people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. This is God's word. Please be seated. So, what if Jesus came to visit you as he came to visit the Gerasenes? What would you do if Jesus came to visit? How would you receive him? Would you receive him with the casual ease that you might receive your very best friend? You're not even going to worry about, you know, cleaning up the messy house or changing out of the frumpy clothes that you're in because he's so familiar to you and you don't need to hide anything. Is that how you would receive Jesus? Would you receive him with great joy and comfort? So great and so gracious and kind a guest is he. Or would you be a little apprehensive and nervous about him coming to visit? You know, you might receive the Queen of England or something, and suddenly you have to scurry around and clean up the house and try to prepare the best meal you know how for such an important guest. And maybe would you even try to stuff a few skeletons into the closet and hope that he doesn't notice? What would you do if Jesus came to visit? Would you even send him away? In our text, Jesus came to visit the Gerasenes, a Gentile region that was on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, so that would be on the east side of the Sea of Galilee, and he comes with all the authority and the power of God, whose kingdom is breaking into this world. He is going to break the teeth of our enemy, as the psalm says. He is going to take it to the kingdom of Satan. He comes to the world and into our midst to challenge people, to challenge our conditions, our ways of thinking, our priorities, our ways of living. And as always, when he comes to the Gerasenes, his visit makes a huge impact. Almost before he can step out of the boat, here comes this demon-possessed man, naked and crazed and wild, like a rabid animal. He comes at Jesus from his home in the cemetery among the tombs. Much like we read of God's complaint of his people in the Old Testament. He said, they live among the tombs. They are like people living, yes, but they're dead. They're dead in their sins. They live in cemeteries. And here comes this man, dead in his sins, dead by the possession of Satan, living among the tombstones. But he comes at Jesus, shouting at Jesus to leave him alone and not to torment him. And please, please, do not cast me into the abyss, which Revelation says was prepared for Satan and his minions. Do not cast me into the abyss. And in this dramatic scene, Jesus sends actually a legion of demons, we find out, many of them, to their destruction in a herd of drowning pigs. And he restores this man to health and to his right mind. The kingdom of God is breaking in. Jesus is breaking the teeth of our enemy, demonstrating his power over the kingdom of hell and of Satan. For God in Christ has set out to transform the world and to release from bondage all of those people who are living in the graveyards, each person who is held captive to sin and Satan, he sets out to release the prisoner. This dramatic change in this troubled man's life is the kind of transformation that the group U2 sings about in a song titled When Love Comes to Town. I'm not a U2 fan, but this song pretty well says it. It tells the story of a life that is marked by betrayal and confusion and loss. And the chorus of the song keeps saying, I did what I did before love came to town. Before love came to town. But then the singer goes on to describe how love did come to town, and his life was changed by that love. You know, the man who was healed of these demons in our gospel may well have sung that U2 song. And we could well imagine St. Luke including that song in his hymnal. I did what I did before love came to town, but now love has come, and I am something entirely new and different now. Well, the reactions to Jesus' visit to the Gerasenes was swift and it was intense. Of course, the demons fear and tremble, but the reaction of the people is what's interesting. You would think that these people would be happy, overjoyed really, that this man who had caused them so much trouble, imagine this man, wild and naked and running around town and disturbing people. You would think that they would be overjoyed that this man has been saved, has been restored to his right mind. You would think that they would throw a party, perhaps, to celebrate the salvation of this man and invite Jesus to be the guest of honor. But there's not going to be a party among the Gerasenes. There's going to be no celebration. Luke says instead that the people were seized with a great fear. And one translation says that they were in a state of panic, and they asked Jesus to leave. Now, to those of us who love the Lord, that seems like kind of a strange response. Why would they ask him to leave? What were they so afraid of? Is it that Jesus had just sent a goodly portion of the local economy to its destruction in the lake? You know, perhaps. That's one of the reasons. The unsettling power of Jesus does extend to our pocketbooks, into economic systems, into our finances. And whenever Jesus has an impact on money matters, that's when people get a little skittish. They really don't want him around when it comes to money. He's the Lord of all, and so we sometimes don't really want to have him around for that part. But it's probably more than that for the Gerasenes. If Jesus can heal somebody like this poor, long-suffering man in our text, and he can destroy a large hog farm in the process, what might he do next? Who is safe from this kind of power? You know, what if I don't want my life to be upended and upset? What if I prefer to remain in the comfortable, familiar patterns of my living, even if it is in a cemetery, but at least it's comfortable and it's familiar? What if I don't want my life to be upset by this unsettling power of Jesus? There is a parable about a farmer who had a few animals that he kept in a barn, but the barn had gotten very old and rickety, and it was drafty and leaky. So the farmer built a fine new barn where his animals would be safe and dry. And the old one he tore down. Shortly after that, a strong storm blew through, and so the farmer went out to check on his animals in the storm, and was shocked to find that the barn door on this new barn had been left unlatched, and that all of the animals were out of the barn. And so he stepped out of his new barn into this raging storm to look for the animals. And where did he find them? They were huddled all together within the foundations of the old barn. For them, it was easier to stay with the old and the familiar rather than to deal with what was new, even though the new was clearly better. An old rock song says, every new beginning comes from another beginning's end. Hey, when Jesus visits, he comes to give new beginnings. But those new beginnings are the end of other beginnings. the new life that he gives us is the exorcism of the old way of life. And that's unsettling to many people. For the Gerasenes, it was too much of a risk. And they asked Jesus to leave. Friends, this fear of the unsettling power of Jesus is not unknown among us either. Not that we, of course, would ask Jesus outright to leave us, like those Gentile Gerasenes. We wouldn't do that. We're a little more subtle about it than that. We tend to deal with the unsettling power of Jesus by taming Jesus, by making him safe. Would you consider these words of an author by the name of Dorothy Sayers? She writes, "The people who hanged Christ never accused him of being a bore. On the contrary, they thought him too dynamic to be safe. It has been left for later generations to surround Jesus with an atmosphere of tedium. We have very efficiently pared the claws of the Lion of Judea. We have certified him meek and mild and recommended him as a fitting household pet for pale curates and pious old ladies." Hey, I think Dorothy Sayers is dead on right. Certainly in our culture, and even in many of our churches, and in many of our own hearts and lives, we have neutered the lion of the tribe of Judah. Effectively, we have sent him away. We have sent away the Jesus of the Gospels, who upended people's lives and challenged their attitudes and their ways of living. Him we've sent away, but in his place we have welcomed a new, softer Jesus. A Jesus reshaped by us into the image of that harmless, lovable, purple dinosaur named Barney, with all of his politically correct tolerance of anyone and anything, a fuzzy Jesus who would never get upset with me for any of the choices I've made in life, who would never disqualify me from his kingdom for unrepented lifestyles and choices and decisions I've made. You see, this is good, because we can have it both ways now. We can have our cake and we can eat it too. We can claim allegiance to Jesus, the neutered Jesus, the watered down Jesus. We can claim allegiance, but Jesus. And yet we can still continue to live our lives in the graveyard. We can continue those old patterns of living, the swearing, the drunkenness, the sexual sins, the love of money, the coveting, the gossiping, or whatever. And those demons continue to hang with us, because this Jesus is safe, but he has no power to heal us, no power to change us, to set us on a new path, no power to make us a new creation, to give us a new life. But let's remember that in our gospel reading there is one other reaction to Jesus' visit, and that's the reaction of the man who was healed of these demons. Jesus has given him his life back. From this naked, howling, tormented man who lived in the cemetery and haunted the people of his town, from that he has changed into a man who is now sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, joyful, completely new and different. It's astounding. And so grateful was this man that he pleads with Jesus to be allowed to return to Galilee with him. But at Jesus' direction, he instead remains right where he is in his hometown to be a witness to Jesus Christ among his own people. A man who is just bursting with the good news of what God has done for him through Christ, of the mercy and of the grace that changed him forever. That same life-changing, hell-smashing grace extends to us too, by the power of Christ's cross and his suffering. St. Peter says, "You were redeemed from your former empty way of life, which was handed down to you from your ancestors, with the precious blood of Christ. You have been born again through the living, enduring Word of God. And I can well imagine that man who was cured of those demons coming before us and standing here in our midst. This man bursting with the good news of what God has done for him. And I can imagine him saying to you, "Listen, I understand your fear of the unsettling power of Jesus, that he might upset your old familiar patterns of living. But please don't be too quick to send him away like my fellow townspeople did. I think about who I was before Jesus came, before love came to town, and I would not go back for anything. Trust him to give you a new life, the better life, the abundant life, free from the kingdom of Satan." May the Spirit of our God open us to the visitation of Jesus Christ, to the healing of our sins and of our demons, and to the newness of life. Let us pray. Lord, you visit us with forgiving grace and with power, offering us a new life. Help us to trust you with our lives. In the strong name of Jesus, amen and amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.